And welcome back to the Bicycle Indiana podcast, Life Behind Bars. Margaret B., executive director, really excited about this conversation. I've been kind of watching this bike shop evolve over the last couple of years, especially during the pandemic. But we've seen a huge increase in interest, but also just questions about e-bikes, electric bikes. So this discussion is with a local bike shop out of Zionsville, with the owner, as well as some of her shop employees and mechanics. And we kind of talk about the ins and the outs of electric bikes. If you are not a member, please take a moment, go to our website, www.bicycleindiana.org. Become a member today. It's quite easy. It helps us keep rolling and doing the things that we do best for the cycling world here in the state of Indiana. You can also become a member through your local BMV and get a license plate under Indiana Bicycle Coalition. And that is also super easy and very supportive to our organization. So thanks so much and enjoy the show. Welcome back to the Bicycle Indiana podcast, Life Behind Bars. Margaret B. here, executive director. Today's discussion is with a great bike shop that I have been following for the last couple of years. And I'm really stoked to have a discussion with them to talk about e-bikes. So first, I'm going to kind of start off the conversation and have each individual on this call or who is present here introduce themselves. So who wants to start?
Hi, I'm Leanne McKay. I am the owner of the shop.
I'm Sean. I'm the shop manager.
I'm Rusty. I'm a mechanic.
I'm Brandon, the service manager.
Oh, Dale. I'm Rand.
Nice. Full crew.
Absolutely.
All right. So I'm going to kind of dive in here. I've got questions. Leanne, if you want to do most of the talking or if other people want to chime in as we discuss, that's great.
I'll talk until these other guys wake up.
Sure. So let's just kind of dive into this. Leanne, how about you kind of, you know, introduce yourself a little bit more and kind of tell your story of how you started the shop and what eBoom is.
Okay, well, eBoom Electric Bikes and Service is an electric bike shop, though we service all bikes, regardless of, you know, what type they are, electric and acoustic. And we also sell acoustic bikes as well, but primarily we're electric. It started as a thought 8 years ago of, you know, what electric bikes are and what they could become. And after researching and going to Interbike in Las Vegas and doing our whole due diligence, we decided to open a bike shop in Whitestown. So we did. We opened it. And the first year was a little challenging as people were bamboozled on what these bikes were about. And would come in and say, "You cheat us! You're cheating! You're cheating! You're cheating!" And but after a while, they really tried them and enjoyed them, and now we are really enjoying selling electric bikes.
I mean, I've watched kind of the evolution of e-bikes, where you kind of described where people are like, "Oh, you're kind of cheating and using this electric motor that's helping you." But I've watched it really kind of grow and bring accessibility to cycling and cyclists around the area. But I guess let's start talking a little bit about some of the brands that you carry.
Brands we carry, you know, there was an evolution in brands, especially when you first get started. You know, there's nobody who's been out there who was a solid brand that you knew had a great electric bike. You know, we were all kind of starting it together. So we did kind of run through different brands throughout the years. And I think we've really kind of, we started with a lot of brands. You think, "Oh my gosh, I have to have every brand that's out there because I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss anything. You know, if I don't have this brand, well, what if that customer wanted that brand?" And then you, over the years, learn that, well, you know, you can't have everything and not everything is that good.
Right.
So we have really narrowed it down to, we went just the opposite from having lots of brands to just like a core three brands right now that we think are the best, very successful. And that would be Aventon, Specialized, and Salsa. So we're really psyched about those. They make very good quality electric bikes, and we have, you know, great customer satisfaction.
Okay, so my next question is what is an e-bike? I know there's going to be people thinking like, that's such a silly question, Margaret, but there are people out there that do not know the differences between the different types. And I have that on my list to talk about the different classes and different types of bikes. But what is an e-bike in a general sense, so our listeners can know?
An e-bike, let's see. It's a bike that, it's a bike that helps you pedal more efficiently. Your body doesn't have to work as hard. Not cheating. You still have to work at it. But it helps you go farther, faster. You're able to have more fun. Like I have arthritis in my hips. Pretty bad, actually. Diagnosed at 19. And e-bikes have helped me get out there and ride. You know, I used to do a couple centuries a week when I was, you know, 17, 18 years old. Then as time progressed, it was harder for me to go on longer rides, but e-bikes helped me do it. And yeah, I love them.
Let's keep going with it. What's an e-bike, Sean?
It's basically a bike with a motor. They're usually down between the pedals or in the rear wheel. The motor will activate when you pedal. They've got torque sensors built into them or power meters. Some of them, like the Avintons, have a throttle or a lever you can push, which is nice for a lot of people who may not be confident that they can ride super far, but they've got the peace of mind. I can make it home with basically zero effort.
E-bike at its core is accessibility. That's really all it is.
Yes, an e-bike is, I like that. E-bike is an accessibility. An e-bike brings more riders back to riding, brings more opportunity for new trails to open because there's more riders. And e-bikes can be as simple as, which, you know, we don't sell, just a throttle only, but pedal assist, you got to work, and then a throttle bailout if you need some quick help.
So what prompted me to reach out to you, Leanne, and your shop to talk about e-bikes is because, one, you spoke at our Statehouse Day, which I really greatly appreciated, but also we posted again about our e-bike law card, and it really kind of reminded me that we haven't really talked about e-bikes and the importance and the different maybe laws and rules and classes. And I have lots of e-bike law cards I'm happy to send out to people or send more to you if you need them. But there are a lot of definitions and different explanations on our law card. And the one of the discussions is the different levels, the classes. Do you want to talk a little bit about the different classes of e-bikes?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's just like anything new, it gets all muddled. And then if you try to do it state by state, it can be a little confusing because some states like California, you know, are taking more of, and New York are taking more of a stance on the different categories of e-bikes. I know that with the classification, you know, one is, and guys, correct me if I'm wrong, or somebody chime in on the different classifications.
One is a pedal assist only, no throttle, can do up to 20 miles an hour maximum assisted speed, which I guess is the legal speed limit in Europe.
Okay.
So that's why that's there. Class two would be up to 20 with pedal assist or via a throttle. And then if the bike can assist you up to 28 miles an hour, it's a class three. But like these days, you can set the top speed on the bike. The Avintons, for example, all come set as class twos. You have to get the app, connect it to the bike, increase it to 28.
Right. Yeah. So they've added flexibility. So, you know, if one state law is only class twos, you can adjust the bike. Even if you have a throttle, you can unplug the throttle. You can remove the throttle. So there's no, that's what we like about our brands. You're not stuck like, oh my gosh, I can't take my bike to this place because of the law. And then, you know, I think, and I'm just going to jump in on this while it's in my brain. When it comes to trails, I think we're finding that you don't try to put a law just on electric bikes, because that's hard to do unless you have somebody out there, you know, policing the trails all the time. But you do speed. You put a speed limit on it because, you know, I know on my acoustic, I can ride 20 miles per hour down a trail just as fast as an e-bike. So if everybody can adhere to speed limits, especially in crowded areas, I think that's the solution more than trying to regulate the classification of an e-bike.
Sure, sure. Okay, let's jump into the next topic I have written down in my paper. And I want to talk about the different types. I know we talked about the classes and pedal assist versus having, you know, a throttle, you know, having a motor. But there are different types of e-bikes, which I wrote down: road bikes, mountain bike, hybrid. Do you want to dive into those types of bikes that are now available as e-bikes?
Yes, Brandon would love to tell you the different types of e-bikes.
So e-mountain bikes are one of my favorite. They're all going to be a class one. You still get the same componentry options as you would on a standard acoustic mountain bike. You get the same suspension setups, a little bit beefier. You get the same derailleurs, same chain rings, same cassettes, all that. But yeah, they're going to be class one for safety reasons. So you're riding on a trail. It's really good, just going to be helping you climb. Road bikes. I have a Specialized Turbo Creo that's become like my favorite bike. It helps me, you know, on gravel situations, helps me in climbs, makes headwinds non-existent. And it also uses the same, like it's a Shimano GRX group set on there. So same as I had on another carbon gravel bike I, you know, rode for a while. And then hybrid bikes, like bikes we carry, like the Specialized Turbo Vado SL. That's another good one. Weighs about 33 pounds. They've gotten that technology, that SL technology, super light. It's really dialed in. Uses the same motor as my Creo road bike. And it uses a lot of the same kind of SRAM drivetrain technology. And then we have also some cruiser bikes in here too. A little more accessible, step through models, all that.
A lot of them, just the big simple differences are mid drive versus hub drive. Hub drive is where you're going to find your throttles. The motor's going to be physically in one of the wheels. Like for instance, a lot of our more senior people, customers enjoy the trikes, and those are all hub drives. The motor's literally in the front wheel. Whereas all of your mountain bikes and stuff, they're all going to be mid drive. So it's going to be right there in that bottom bracket area.
Nice. Yeah, I have a friend that has a road bike, a Specialized. I think it's the Creo, and it to me, it doesn't even look like an e-bike.
Sweet. We love the Creo. Yeah.
And I've traveled to different places, like even Bentonville, and everyone's on e-bikes down in Bentonville, and some like the fittest athletes are out there, you know, using e-bikes because they're able to ride longer and have more fun and have a blast, you know, climbing those hills out in Bentonville. But it's really great to see shops carry more inventory, but also just bringing awareness that e-bikes are an option.
Yes. Yeah, on the trails and stuff, there's a misconception that e-bikes tear up, single track mountain bike trails, but just the opposite, because, you know, if you're grinding up a hill, you have the assist. And so you're not sitting there grinding the trail. You're just going, you know, you're just pedaling right up it. So I think that was the biggest pushback for a while on that.
But, yeah.
They've actually done studies out in California and Colorado and found that they're actually a little bit more trail friendly, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Out here where I'm in Terre Haute at Griffin Bike Park, Rich Moore, the park manager, always kind of says the e-bikes aren't the ones that are tearing up the trails. You know, he's going out there with his e-bike and using it as a maintenance vehicle to carry out tools to take care of the trail. But he says it's more of those fast cross country rippers that are, you know, riding around real fast that maybe will do a little bit more damage than an e-bike. So I agree with that. All right, let's talk a little bit about batteries. I I remember it was about, what, like 2-3 years ago? Wasn't there a big situation in New York where some batteries caught on fire? And then there was this kind of discussion with shops of how to handle if an e-bike battery gets on fire or catches on fire because it's a chemical fire. Do you talk about that with customers? You know, is that still an issue? I remember I went down to Columbus to a giant bicycle retailer, and the guy had a chemical blanket on the wall, you know, a kit. And he looked at me, he said, if we have something happen, he wraps it around the battery and the bike, or just the battery, puts it outside and hopes that, you know, the situation solves itself. I think it's been kind of in the back of my head to kind of get an update on e-bike batteries.
Oh, absolutely. And speaking of kits, Rusty's going to show you ours.
For our viewers, it's a bag that has some type of chemical blanket incident, yes. Yeah, situation. And what's inside the kit for our viewers?
It is got a couple of things here. A hazmat blanket for lithium ion batteries, a pair of goggles to protect your eyes, gloves for high temperature gloves to protect your hands. I'm glad we opened this. I've never seen it. And then another fire blanket. So, you know, that's great and ideal if it happens while you're here, but most of them are going to happen when you're not here.
Right.
And when the battery's plugged in.
Yeah.
I know there have been a few fires in Indiana where they just plugged in a battery even while they were there, and it took off on them. So, from what I've read, from what I know on the New York fires, most of it was somebody tampered with the battery, trying to either rebuild a dead battery or, you know, trying to make improvements upon it, mm-hmm. and then put it in, left it, fire. A lot of it was the gig economy, people who are delivering things for a living, not, you know, maintaining the bike, taking care of the battery, buying them off of a market that isn't UL certified, and you don't know what the battery chemistry is, and you find it, you know, it can overheat easily, not easy to regulate. I think, you know, the government got a hold of that in New York with new regulations, even charging stations for the gig economy where they're charging outside, not in their apartments. So I think that we're starting to handle that in a good way. The UL certification is helpful. All our brands are UL certified. And also just paying attention to how they should be taken care of. I harp on my guys all the time, and they can go further on that, on what we accept, because we will work on almost any e-bike, but the components more than the electronic parts.
Sure.
And then we vet batteries before they come in. Is that, you know, has that been in a wreck? You know, have you had a problem with it? Have you dropped it? You know, just things, you know, mainly when we want to keep other people's batteries out of our shop. And that's kind of what our you know, plan of action is.
Yeah, they are shady batteries for sure.
Yeah.
Like we'll diagnose a battery as unusable and, you know, potentially a hazard, and then, you know, send it away with the customer. Call to Recycle is the company. I think it's CALL2, the number Recycle. They gave us our lithium ion fire kit at no charge, and also like a big, what would you call it?
It's a barrel.
A barrel.
Fire retardant.
That you can actually put batteries in that we know are corrupt and mail them away. Like expensive equipment, but totally for free to bike shops. It seems like a really good company.
Yeah. And we encourage other shops, you know, especially if they're carrying off-brand bikes. When I say off-brand, you know, not like your main brands that you've heard of. I don't know how to describe off-brand bikes.
Like, yeah. Like non-UL rated brands.
Non-UL rated brands. Yeah. I would encourage them to get one of these kits and in the barrel. Just and then practice. Don't just have it in your shop and say, well, there it is. But practice, because when you practice, when it happens, you know what to do. So that's, and we don't allow anything left plugged in at our shop overnight. Nothing is left plugged in. Even our UL certified, nothing. Because that's your biggest catalyst.
Right. I remember a big brand, I won't name the name, but they posted something about how people would plug their cruisers in and mm-hmm. maybe take a nap. you know, 2-4 hours later, maybe leave it in for the rest of the day. And that was causing the batteries to overheat and have issues.
Wow, yeah.
And it's tough to tell the consumer, you know, you can only plug it in for, you have to wait for it to be completely charged and then unplug it. But let's be real. How often do we plug any of our electronics in?
Right.
And go off and do whatever we're doing.
We recommend a timer, you know, for those who don't feel like they can manage, you know, unplugging. You can plug it into a timer and then the timer can shut it off. I mean, that's, you know, better than just leaving it plugged in. And also, just thinking about in general, and this is just a, some people, they don't even take care of their bikes. You know, they come in, they look like they've been in wrecks. They're in horrible condition. So how are they going to take good care of the battery? You know, how are they going to do that? Yeah. So I guess it's just a run of luck, or hopefully, you know, it's a really good battery.
Right. So there's obviously some, I don't want to use the word, I guess, a dangerous sides of having an e-bike battery. However, there's very good things about e-bikes and the batteries and what technology has kind of progressed. What is the average kind of length or the amount of time that you can ride with an e-bike battery on a bike?
So it's, they usually rate it in terms of range more than time. The Vintons are usually 60 to 70 miles maximum per charge, which we find is a real world number. And the Specialized tend to be about 80 miles per charge up to, if you're using the low, you know, the lower assist level on a pretty level surface. Mm-hmm. The range is pretty good. And you can get range extenders with the Specialized bikes to get up to 120 miles.
All right. Let's talk about the next topic here that I have. I want to talk about weight. I know a lot of e-bikes are heavier because they have more stuff on it. They have more equipment, more, you know, obviously the motor and different things that are on the bike. Who wants to talk about the weight so our viewers and listeners can kind of get an idea if they're interested in buying an e-bike? What to kind of look out for? How can they load it into their car? How can they travel with it? If it is mostly, let's say, I like to use the word seasoned, not necessarily old, but seasoned riders purchasing e-bikes, how are they going to load these bikes into their car to travel?
Anybody want to take it?
It's important to get. Probably it's gonna require a hitch rack. They make racks. We sell a lot of Thule racks that are rated for the weight of e-bikes. For example, up to 75 pounds. They've got ramps on them.
Yeah,
per bike. If you have a bike that's 75 pounds on a rack weighted or a rack rated to 45 pounds, the rack company won't replace your bikes if it fails. You can fit most bikes in the back of an SUV or a van if you can put the seats down, but they are generally heavier than regular bikes.
Yeah, there's different ways. I mean, if you go to the general population, like Brandon mentioned earlier, the older generation that, you know, the heavy e-bikes, the ramps on the various brands, Thule, Quat, did I say that right?
Yeah,
I mean, they all have a ramp now. So you can ramp it up. Your bike rack, and that's helpful. Buddy lifts are always helpful. But you get into your, like you said, your serious riders converting to e-bike. You get into super light. Matter of fact, that's what they call some of the Specialized. Do you want to talk about the super lights?
Yeah.
On the Specialized super light e-bike side of things. So I have a Salsa Cassidy mountain bike that weighs approximately 38 pounds and it's not electric. My e-bike is actually lighter than my mountain bike. So I'm able to put my lightweight e-bike on my standard, it's like a Saris trunk rack. You've seen them everywhere. But that has, you know, I don't have a truck that runs right now. So having access to something that can transport an e-bike, for me, if it were heavier, would be really tough. But it being as light as it is, I can just use a standard trunk rack that's well within that weight rating of my bike. But if I wanted something heavier, I'd have to invest in a vehicle with a 2-inch receiver for a hitch rack. There'd just be no getting around it, or just ride to where I want to go. Right. But some of these other e-bikes we have that are also, you know, hub drives, they can get a lot heavier. They can get bigger. Like in the event and lineup, one of the bikes that we sell, like our most popular one, the Pace 500, now it's the Pace 4. That bike, if you remove the battery, it becomes pretty lightweight. But still having it on a 2-inch receiver, especially for the elderly, having the ability to ramp it up onto the rack, is a lot. It's a much better option, if you can't lift something that weighs over 45 pounds.
If weight consideration, it might also be prudent to really think about your hub drive versus your mid drive, because your mid drives almost always are going to be significantly lighter.
Why are they lighter?
Because they don't have a giant motor in the wheel.
Oh, but they have the motor in the middle, and that weighs less.
It's not going to be as powerful as a motor, so it's going to be a little bit lighter.
Oh, okay.
And the battery's not going to be as quite as heavy either.
Yeah, and also a mid drive puts the weight a lot lower on the bike too, and it's more centered, so you don't have an uneven, like when you go to pick your bike up, you don't have an uneven
weight distribution.
Yeah, thank you.
So, and to complete that, transportation of trikes, they make really nice racks, hitch racks for trikes now.
Yeah, trikes
that are easy. They're kind of low, easy to get up onto the platform, which is nice because that was a challenge. There are all kinds of bikes, there are all kinds of shapes and sizes, just like people.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about gear. Let's say I come in, I'm wanting to buy an e-bike. I'm ready to roll. What other type of gear does your shop or other, other shops too, I'm sure, but what does your shop and your employees recommend for new riders who want to get an e-bike? What are some other gear?
I mean, you've got to have a helmet, of course. A lot of people like to do mirrors, at least one on the left side. Bells are great because you're going to be passing more people sitting on your left all the time. Gets old. So, ding, ding. Bags to carry stuff, because you can carry heavy stuff without noticing the extra weight. Panniers or, truck rack bags. Locks also. The bikes, you know, generally more expensive than your average acoustic bike. Kryptonite sells locks that come with like a built-in insurance policy if you buy one of their more robust locks. We sell a lot of those. More comfortable saddles are a very common thing.
Oh, yeah.
Most bike brands stock from the factory, not the most comfortable seats in the world.
We're just looking at our board thinking, gear-wise, as far as, water bottles, of course. The standard gear you'd sell with regular bikes, but just a little bit more, what do you call them, Brandon? The koozie crowd, what do you call them?
Cup holders.
Oh, Brandon jokes and says that it's the cup holder group. Tend to like, you know, a different type of style of riding, you know, tend to put a cup holder on their bar and more casual riding. So we sell some of those more casual things.
So speaking of bells and ding, ding, you know, you said you're riding and passing people on trails. Let's talk about where you can ride. I'm in Terre Haute. Obviously, it's a different world out here where I live, but you live in an area where there are trails, or your shop is in an area with trails. I would like to bring up the Monon, because individuals have emailed me over the past couple of years of how can we manage, not necessarily Bicycle Indiana, but how can the community manage e-bikes on the Monon Trail? Because I think there were a lot of issues where there were maybe e-bikes that were not the correct class, riding extremely fast, passing people, maybe being dangerous. And they were wondering how to manage and communicate to the riders that those were the wrong type of e-bikes.
Well, I think in what we're finding in, discussions and studies and all that is that there's two things I think immediately could solve it. And I hate to say this because I totally don't want to step around this, but rentals. I think rentals are great, and I love that people want to rent the e-bikes, and I love the companies that rent them. But I think that rentals can cause an issue, because what you're doing is you're renting to somebody who, you know, they're trying the bike. You get a lot of kids on it. A lot of, you know, a lot of people that I want to say they don't care, but I'm just going to ride my bike and have a good time. Right. And I'm going to do whatever I want. It has a throttle. I'm going for it. I'm going to give this, I'm going to that. No regulation. I'm out of town. What do I care? So I think that's the first solution, is to, I'm not saying to get rid of rentals, but having more controls on rentals, maybe making the company renting them more responsible. And then the second thing is the speed limit, you know, having a way to control a speed limit so everyone slows down and more cautious riders. Anybody want to add to that?
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
I think it comes down to just personal responsibility and accountability for, you know, a rider's actions. The Monon has a speed limit of, what is it, 20 miles an hour?
I haven't been on the 10 years. Miles when you get 10, into 10 the really crowded areas.
Okay. The last time I rode on the Monon, I was on just a regular acoustic bike, and I got passed by someone who was easily going 28. They didn't warn me that they were there. It scared me a little bit. But, you know, I really think it just comes down to the rider, just that responsibility. We can regulate all we want, but you also have state cops on 465 and people are doing about 80. So it's going to exist everywhere in every part of life. But it just comes down to who's willing to enforce those rules.
Right. Unfortunately, you have people who are in something. I'll let you. You can use it in running or walking. I mean, there's people who stop and talk in the middle of the Monon and block the whole thing up, and they have their dog and their kids, and they're not doing it on purpose. You know, hey, I haven't seen you in a long time. Hey, how's it going? But now you've just blocked up the whole thing, and everybody's trying to get around you in the grass and everything. So, you know, it's not just cyclists. It's just everybody, like Brandon said, needs to be, you know, a friendly, responsible person when they're on a public trail.
Yeah, basically second what Brandon said. If you ride responsibly, you're not going to hurt yourself or anyone else.
It's better for everyone.
It takes a few people, I guess just a handful of people, to like start a reputation as e-bikes being a problem. It seems like enforcing the speed limits in downtown Carmel, for example, would help. I don't know exactly how the police do that. I've never been pulled over, but...
Do you go fast to get pulled over? Aha!
I just bugged them.
Yeah.
And one reason I like being able to do 28 on an e-bike is I feel a lot safer if I have to pull out in traffic, if there's a road, not a trail. I'm slowing the cars down behind me less. They're getting less upset, as drivers tend to do. And you spend less time on the actual road.
Yeah. And you have more control. You have more control getting, you know, like you said, on and off the road as opposed to just pedal power alone. Right. Last thing on that is e-bikes, because they're brand, you know, they're new. You know, a lot of people, they're new to people. And so it's easy to blame the new thing on issues on the Monon. No.
What are some other places you recommend for riders to go ride their e-bike?
Yeah, we're right on the Big Four rail trail. I think right now it's 9 miles from one end to the other, goes kind of northwest from our shop, through Whitestown towards Lebanon, I think is how they pronounce it. It's a great ride. It's just, I think, half a mile west of us. The Monon's always great. The Nickel Plate, I guess, now goes pretty much from downtown to Noblesville.
Didn't they show it's finished now? That's cool.
Pansy Trail, too.
Yeah, Pansy Trail. Most of Carmel, they've got Monon-esque paved sidewalks everywhere now.
They can ride almost anywhere in Carmel on a trail. I go to my hairstylist on the bike trail.
I don't think you need a car in Carmel anymore.
Yeah, I don't think you need a car in Carmel anymore, Brandon said.
So my next topic, and maybe some of you will have to think about this, but what are some of the trends that you've seen in the e-bike world, and what do you see for the future?
Wow. Trends.
I mean, the most popular bikes we sell are the ones that don't have a top tube, the full step-through frames.
Yeah.
Probably 75% at least.
Men and women.
Men and women, yeah.
Trends are just buying e-bikes. You know, it just you wonder, you know, when's that curve going to flatten? You know, when is it going to not be so on fire on e-bike sales? Which maybe I shouldn't use fire. Shouldn't be going so well. And then, you know, but, you know, we just get more and more people. My friends have one. They told me to come here. My friends, you know, my friends and family are, we went on a trip and we discovered e-bikes. So I think people are still discovering e-bikes and still discovering that they can have more mobility by riding on e-bikes. So I think the trend continues of discovering them. And I think the e-bike industry as a whole are making them better and better. Improvements, listening to the customers. We get a lot of trade-ups because Aventon completely continues year after year to improve their bikes and make them more technical.
Technologically advanced.
Yeah, technologically advanced, absolutely. So that's pretty cool. What are the future? I read an article just recently in the Wall Street Journal about a company in Los Angeles who's starting to improve on electric motors, not only for bikes, but for other types of equipment and stuff like that, using less metals and using iron instead to propel the motor inside. And then you've got another company working on batteries, making different type lithium ion is can be very volatile. They're using different chemicals in there that are more earth friendly as well as less volatile. And so those are out there. So I think you're going to see a future of continued improvement and less problems with, you know, having to worry about fires and stuff.
We've been seeing a lot of electric dirt bikes too. That seems to be a trend that's happening now, and we see them more and more every day. We don't really consider those electric bikes. So we think of them more as what they are, as a motorcycle. Let's see. I think also Specialized as a brand, they've been doing a lot of work, putting a lot of new suspension technology into their e-bikes too. They've done some work with Fox, making the Genie Shock. I still have yet to ride one of those.
hint, hint.
also SRAM with their drivetrain. That's, I still have yet to see one of those too, but I think they're here to stay for sure. And they're just, like Leanne said, going to get better and better as the years go on.
Yeah. It's like the internet. A lot of people thought the internet was not going to be around, but look where we are.
Talking over the internet.
Okay. Put those thinking caps on. I want each individual to think of one of their top memories at the shop, maybe selling an e-bike, maybe a customer that they want to share a story about how an e-bike changed their life. Something good to end the call on. Because I think I'm out of questions, unless I missed anything you wanted to talk about.
All right.
Yeah, but so like more than five, less than 10 times, I've had adults who were avid cyclists get on an e-bike, realize they could ride again, thought they never would, literally start crying. They're so happy in the shop, which is an freedom. Amazing feeling.
Yeah.
Freedom, right?
Yeah, freedom.
Yeah, I had one. A customer brought a recumbent trike in and he wanted a kit installed on the trike. And I remember this was at the Whitestown shop, must've been like 3 years ago. And, I worked on that until I think 11:30 PM. The shop closed at 6:00. I stayed there all night. And then he came the next day, to pick it up and take it for its first ride. And Sean said, he's seen people, cry. He didn't cry, but he had the biggest smile on his face. And I felt like I just changed someone's life.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you wouldn't think getting into the cycling industry that you're, you know, especially my first job in the cycling industry, that you're going to change someone's life. But that's something that we, I think, do every day here. Getting people back out on the road, doing what they love, getting out there, getting outdoors. I mean, any bike is a good bike, if it just gets you out there.
Yeah.
And I think that, I couldn't imagine doing anything else.
That's good. That's good. I think mine is just, you know, looking at the past 8 years, I think the best thing is this team that I have. I'm so grateful I have excellent, Brandon's an excellent service manager. He's got an excellent service team. Sean is an excellent store manager, and he continues to astound us in the sales numbers on the floor. But it's not just that. It's the way they treat people. They're just so kind, and it's them. They're so kind. They could be aggravated. They could be having a rough day, but if somebody comes in and they need some help, they're so kind to them, and they take their time and they're patient, and they help them get the bike that they want or help them repair the bike. And I'm just so grateful that I have these type of guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other memories? Anyone?
Oh, memories of the first year in business, standing there by myself, playing the radio and just, hoping things will work out.
But look where you are now.
Oh, it's great. I'm thankful every day. Thankful every day. Now memories are being just so crazy busy and everybody's smiling. I just like that churn. Everybody's just busy helping each other, working. It's just like a machine. It's a lot of fun.
Is there anything else that I didn't bring up that you want to talk about e-bikes that you think our listeners and
I would mention to listeners, if you're skeptical of e-bikes, without thinking too hard about it, just go test ride one or come here and test ride one. We find that people who think they don't like them change their mind after about 100 feet. Whether you're a roadie, a mountain biker, someone who hasn't been on a bike in years, you're like, oh, I get it. It makes sense.
You know, you even try one if you don't want to buy one. You know, just try it so you see what it is. You know, what's it all about? Yeah, because at least you now can make an intelligent opinion about it.
Well, I appreciate everyone on the call and jumping on and talking about e-bikes. It's been a hot topic. For all our listeners, this discussion is with eBoom Electric Bikes in Zionsville. They are on Facebook. They have Twitter and Instagram. You can go to their website, which is eBoomElectricBikes.com. Other than that, I appreciate everyone, and I hope you all have a wonderful day. And I hope to see you. I was trying to come see you last week, but you're closed on Monday. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Have since day one. Yeah. So we hope to see you. Margaret, thank you for doing this with us.
Yeah.
And it's good to see you on screen.
Absolutely.
And come see us soon.
I will. Take care, everyone.
All right. Bye, Margaret. Bye.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. We hope you really enjoyed this podcast. For more information about our organization and other future podcasts, visit www.bicycleindiana.org. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you have a really great day.